good. So you see, everything belongs to God. There's a verse in the Bible, in the Psalms, Psalm 24 and verse 1, and it says, the earth, I think it's Psalm 24, the earth, I've got to do this off the top of my head, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Is that true? That's true this morning. So if the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and we've saw those things, we've got these things, because they've got what God gives to us is his good gifts. So what can we be thankful for this morning? Let's have some thoughts. Come on, interactive this morning. I want you to shout out some things.
Sunshine.
Sunshine through the windows. We have to thank God for it while it's here, because sometimes we don't see it. But sunshine. Did I hear something over there?
Rain.
Rain is correct. So, and here we have two of the most basic ingredients that you need to get all this, don't we? Sunshine and rain. What else can we be thankful for this morning?
Porridge.
Porridge. Have you had that this morning?
Yes.
Absolutely, you see. I love porridge. Anyone else like porridge? Put your hands up if you like porridge. Yeah, very good. Okay, we've got another one over here.
Wind,
that's right. We need that, don't we? Because that just moves all the clouds along and everything like that. It moves everything around. And God, it's amazing, wind. Because you could say, I don't believe in wind because I can't see it. So how do you know there's wind? How do you know it exists? How do you know it exists? Because you can feel it, can't you? It affects. You see it blowing the trees, and we feel it ourselves. I'll come to you in a minute because I know you've got a good one, but I'll come to you in a sec. Anyone else got any thoughts? Come on, adults, children, anyone.
What soil.
The soil. Not just things like that. What? That's true, the soil. The soil.
Water.
Anything that you've got personally to give thanks for as well. Don't you? Not just
family.
These. Family. Was that what yours was it? You want to say it anyway?
One,
go on then.
Friends.
Friends, that's great, isn't it? Anything else we can say thank you for this morning? I'd like to, if I was to say to you, you've got a sentence here, I would like to thank you this morning, God, for, what would it be?
A land free of calamity.
A land free of calamity, that's a good one, Ken. It's true, well, it's good health, apart from if you're looking for petrol yesterday, that's all, but a good health. It's not calamity though, is it? Good health, yes, because, and isn't it funny that you only really think about how to give thanks for good health when it's not so good. And I know Eric's been struggling, lots of us are. But when you've not got it and it comes back, you think, oh, thank you, Lord, for that. Yes?
Well, the whole world.
That's everything now, isn't it? The whole world. She's closed. We used to say, if somebody's closed the bag, that's it now. We can't do it anymore. And it's true, isn't it? So we can thank God for all these things. Now, in school, if you go into schools at the moment, They sing lots of great songs about harvest, and one of them is called the Harvest Samba. Have you heard of that?
No.
You've not heard of it? Well, you're going to hear it this morning, all right? Because we're going to have it on the screen, and you're going to sing. You can stay seated, and you're going to hear the tune. It is a proper samba tune, and it's about cabbages and greens and all of fruit and veg, and reminding us about where they all came from. So I want to see smiles on your faces, because you can't hear a samba tune and not move a little bit and have a bit of a smile on your face. So you might not want to move a little bit, but let's see you smile. All right.
In the wrong order. I do apologise. Yes, before we go into that, I forgot this. I'm getting as bad as you now, Eric. We're all making a mess of this, aren't we? So what I thought we'd do is that all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above, right? So thank the Lord for all his love. And then I was going to move seamlessly into this verse, which I've just messed up. But anyway, and this verse is from the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, the one who made the universe, all right? When the Bible talks about somebody being the Father, it does mean that somebody is, you know, could be mean your dad or whatever, but actually when the Bible talks about fatherhood, it means the owner of it. And in those days, the father owned everything in the house. It was all his. I wish I'd have lived in them days. But my father owned everything and was boss of everything. Okay, that's kind of how it worked. And that's why, to them, when they heard the word father, they meant he was the one who was the owner of everything. So this is what it says. God owns all everything that he made. And every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Now, we're going to learn this together this morning, in traditional old-fashioned style. So we're going to start by saying it all together while it's all up on the screen, okay? After three. One, two, three. Start with the verse, okay? One, two, three. James 1, verse 17.
Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Very good. Right, press the next one. We'll take, if you press the thing down, took some words away. Okay, we'll carry on doing this till we learn it. After three, one, two, three. James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Very good. You did well. Next one, Gwen. Ooh, getting a bit harder now. I hope you were concentrating on the earlier ones. Okay, after three. One, two, three. James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Very good. You're doing well so far. Let's see if you can pass the next test. Ooh, okay. You ready? After three. One, two, three. James 1, verse 17. Good. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Oh, we're getting a little bit odd now. It's not to waver. We've got one more, I think, Gwen, haven't we? Oh, my word. Right, it's hardly anything left. Just full stops and commas. After three, before you forget. One, two, three. James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. Oh, no, comes from the... comes down from heaven, from the Father of the heavenly lights. Sorry, better put it all back up again, Gwen, because you've messed up. Here we go. That's right. Okay. Right, we'll say it one more time. And then I might ask if anyone would like to come out and say it out the front on your own without any help, and you'd face that way. But I probably won't be. I don't suppose there'd be anybody brave enough to do that. Let's try it. James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. So, we learned a verse this morning, right? We learned a verse. Well, I think we've learned a verse. We're trying our best to learn a verse. James 1, verse 17. But the point, what we want to learn from it, is not just the verse. It's the truth that it tells us. Everything that we have comes from the heart of God. Everything we have belongs to him. I've said it many times from pulpits all over the place, and this one, is that the only person in the whole of the universe, because he's our creator, who can say, mine, is God. Because it all belongs to him. That's what the Bible tells us. And he gives us gifts. So we need to be careful about when we make, we're a bit selfish with what we've got, because God, it all belongs to him, doesn't it, in the first place. Right, okay. Now remember I told you about the Harvest Samba about an hour ago. All right, we're gonna sing it. Very good.
You should rehearse
this. Yeah, we should. I was just going to say that, Ken. We should have just joined up in the middle and anyone would take the dance floor down the middle. Yeah, very good. Very good. So, yeah, that's great. So it's a great little song, that, isn't it? Just about saying thank you to God the Father for everything. It's on our theme, isn't it? Our thankful theme. Right. Okay, now I know why. See, I had it in the right order, a different order on here to what was on there, so it's confusing me now. Anyway, we're back where we were, was meant to be. Giving thanks to God. God's good gifts. Can we have our first slide on, please, Gwen? Okay, that's it there. This is the same as that one. So I thought we'd put that up on the screen. The next one as well, Gwen, for us, is kind of going to be, we thank God because he does own the world. And God's greatest gift to us, right at the very start, was creation. Now, I've already asked you, what sort of things in creation are you thankful for? So let's go back to that again. Okay. What are the sort of things, when you think about, we thought about food and obviously we've dwelt on that a little bit because that's what harvest is kind of about. But what other things in creation, everything we're talking about now, can you be thankful for? Things in the world itself, what can we be thankful for? Any other thoughts that you, because I want to have a real note of thanks for God's good gifts this morning. So think about it. Yes.
Church,
that's very good. You definitely go on top of the class for that. That's really good. Trees. But yeah, pardon?
Trees.
Yes. Trees. Now, trees. We actually did used to have a girl in our class at school called Trees of Green, in case you forgot about that. She actually was called Trees of Green. Anyway, yes, so trees are very important, aren't they? They're really important because of all of the things that they do to our atmosphere and what have you. Okay. Any other things that we can be thankful for?
Flowers.
Flowers, good. It's coming now. Water.
Free oxygen.
The sea.
Free oxygen.
Free oxygen. Yeah, to breathe. The whole air around. See, lots of things we can be thankful for. We don't even see them. Because, like we said, wind before, but the air around us. Gravity. Gravity is a great one, isn't it? Because we'd all be floating off now this morning to space. We'd have to hang on to our seats. And yeah, they'd be floating as well. Go on.
The sky.
Animals.
The sun.
We've said, yeah, the sun, sunny days on the beach. Right, I'm going to say a few things we can be thankful for. Creation. Okay. God created the world as it is, and he gave us seasons in that world, didn't he? Because I think everything that God made it so that we could learn more about him. So, you know, in Genesis, when it's got, right at the very start of the Bible, it's got the story of the creation of what God made. And kind of the different things and really people, you know, it's very important that we understand that God made it. But I think the person who wrote that down for us the reason God made it the way he did was so that even everything that he made that isn't human, just ordinary things that he made, would tell us something about God. All right. And one of those things is we have seasons, don't we? Now, in this country, we definitely do. In some parts of the world, it's always hot. In some parts, it's always cold. But in round where we live, it's kind of, we live in a place where we do experience the seasons, sometimes all in one day. But we do get the seasons, don't we? So let's look at the first one, the first picture we've got of the seasons. What season's that?
Spring.
Hands up. If this is your favourite season, put your hand up. It's my favourite season, definitely. What's so great about spring? What does it, if we think about spring and all the things that are on that picture and other things as well, what's so lovely about spring?
New life.
New beginnings. Baby animals get born. Yeah. It's great, isn't it? New life and things and what have you. Now, what's God trying to teach us through spring then, do you think? What do you think he's trying to teach us? If you keep talking, then I don't have to speak, you see. It's great. You just keep telling me. What's he trying to teach us?
New life.
Yeah, about new life. Now, new life is something that he creates, isn't it? You know, I mean, somebody had to start all this. And you can believe, if you like, that it was all a big bang and an accident. Or you can believe in a God who created things out of his own mind and thought because he wanted to love us. That's what we as Christians believe this morning. So we give thanks that we're even here. New life. But it's not just that life that he talks about, you know, the sort of the years that we get to live on earth. Why do we thank God for life? Why does spring speak to us of life? What is it that God's given us that's different to just ordinary life as well?
What's new life.
new life. But that life, eternal life, that's right, isn't it? God's given us much more than just these 70 or 80 years, if we're, you know, if God blesses us with that he gives us, or more. He gives us life in all its fullness and eternity. And so spring speaks to us of God's new life that he wants to give to us, that God says in him is life. And that's wonderful, isn't it? If we know God and we trust in him, we thank him for the very air that we breathe and all the stuff that we've said and the life that he gives us. But life doesn't go, and when we're born and we're little babies, we're all full of potential and things like that. Some of us, it's a long way back to remember when we were born, isn't it? But when we were born, it was all potential. Our parents and people had hopes and dreams for us and everything else. And so then we grow up and we become adults and we have our own hopes and dreams and things like that. And we should blossom, shouldn't we? So the next picture will tell us a little bit about that. Well, it tells us what, hello, summer. You know what that is. It's got it on there, isn't it? Summer. Hands up if summer is your favourite season. I'm going to put hands up again. They're all my favourite seasons in one way. Summer's great. Now, why is summer so great? Why is summer so good? It's warm, hopefully. Yeah. Depends where you are, doesn't it? But what? Barbecues, says Elban. Yeah, that's great, yeah. Holidays and beach balls and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, what they've got on there. Anything else good about summer?
The flowers
come into full bloom in the summer. If you've got flowers in your garden is looks its best in the summer, doesn't it? It's in spring it looks good, but in the summer it should be a riot of colour, shouldn't it? It's great. A bit like our table this morning. Anything else? Anything else great about summer?
Lighter nights.
Lighter nights. Longer days. Somebody else say something?
Getting together with friends.
That's right, because it gives you the chance to go out and get together. Because in the winter we tend to hibernate, don't we? But coming out in the summer. Isn't summer great? And it's great when we have nice warm days. And in this country, as we said, you know, it's not always sunny every day, as if I had to tell you that. But when it is, don't our English country gardens and things like that look lovely? Yeah. And everything looks wonderful, doesn't it? And you go to the countryside and look at things, and they're brilliant. And you go to the beach, and we've got some of the best beaches in the world as well. So, you know, we are very blessed to be in the UK for that. But you know, around the world, it's the same. So summer is brilliant. Now, summer speaks... What does summer tell us about what God's done for us, what God does for us, do you think? Any ideas? Because spring is about new life and about us, God giving us life in the first place and the life he wants to give us. What about summer? I think what summer is that it tells us that God has given us life in its fullness. All right? It's not just life. But we grow up and we can experience life in its fullness if we follow his ways. Some of the days will be rainy. Some of the days will be sunny. But God wants us to experience the summer, if you like. The light, the beauty, the full bloom. It speaks to us of a fullness of life. And when God made the world, one of the things that he wanted to talk to us about is he didn't just make it, because God could have made it any colour he wanted to. Couldn't he? Because he's God. So he could have made it all like we used to have our tellies years ago in black and white. And different shades of grey. That would have been boring, wouldn't it? But God didn't do that. How many colours can you see in everything that you see outside? It's fantastic, isn't it? The colourful things. And the colourful things we wear and everything else. It's all God's part of God's creation. He gave us colour. He gave us light. And he gave us sunshine and all those things. And he gave us green grass. He could have made the grass brown. Or he could have made it black, or he could have made it some other colour, but he makes it green, which goes perfectly with the blue sky, doesn't it? And then the light brown, sandy beaches goes perfectly with blue sky as well. Isn't God clever the way he makes this stuff like that? And he does it because it's kind of, this is life and it's as it should be. It's a picture of what it is. And that's what God has got planned for all of us. Except that there's another season that comes after that. Let's have a look at the next season. And that's autumn, which has its beauty of its own, doesn't it? Which we're coming into now. Now, what's the good things about autumn? What do you think is good about autumn?
The colours.
The colours, yeah. Anything else? I like the smells in the morning when you get up, it smells. There's an old poem that says, seasons of mists and mellow fruitfulness. It's great, isn't it? That's a really great summing up of what autumn's like. When you walk outside, it can be a misty morning, but you can smell autumn. Can you smell it at the moment when you get up in the morning sometimes? When it's, especially when it's a little bit damp, but it's autumn, isn't it? It's proper autumn. And the leaves on the ground and everything else, if you've got trees around you, everything starts. But, and so it's lovely, but it also speaks to us. It tells us something about God, and that life doesn't go on forever while we're here on earth, that there is a decay that goes on. And the sad thing about the orange leaves and everything is that they're falling off the trees where they grew, aren't they? And they're dying. And then we turn to the last one. If we got the last one, which is winter. Dark winter. But there are some nice things about winter as well. What's nice about winter?
Snow.
Yeah, if some people... Well, that's kind of a Marmite thing. Some people hate the snow because it's freezing cold and you slip in it. But some people love it, don't they, Janice? Snow is wonderful because you can build snowmen, you can go out in it and you can be like a little child again. And it's amazing how many times when children start building snowmen, the adults take over. One year, I might do it here, I was talking in a winter service and I wanted to use, we'd built a snowman in our garden and I wanted to use it as a prop in what I was talking to the children about. But obviously I couldn't bring the snowman, so I got a cool box and put its head in the cool box and brought it to church and made all the children cry because I'd cut the head off a snowman, which wasn't very nice, so it had a completely wrong effect. See, that's what you get when you're an adult. You don't think like children. Anyway, that just beeped on me. Now, the point is, anyway, winter speaks of darkness and cold and death, because the trees die, don't they? And the plants all die. And we pray that God in his goodness will bring spring around again so that all these little things start poking through and start to bring you life again. And so it goes round and round, doesn't it? Isn't God amazing the way he creates stuff like this? So God's good gift of creation and the seasons and all that goes on in it. And you just said how wonderful it is. And there's something in every season that we can be thankful for, particularly as Christians. There's that old hymn that says, something lives in every hue the Christless eyes have never seen. What it basically means is when we know the one who made it and he's our Father and we love him and we want to serve him, then even in the difficult days we see something in every different colour that the world is that we can glorify God with, and it tells us something of his story. So God gives us a great world, a wonderful world, a brilliant world to live in. It's, and he wants it to be summer all the time, except it's not. And the world is broken, which is the next one we have, next slide we've got. The world that God made has been broken in lots of ways. So can anyone tell me how we think the world has been broken? Because it's got all cracks on there, obviously, but it's not really like that. Why is it? How have we broken our world?
Wars.
Pollution, wars, anything else?
Earthquakes.
Disease. Sorry?
Diseases.
Diseases, yeah. We've all been having to suffer from that, haven't we? Sorry?
Floods.
Floods. I thought you said plugs then. I thought plugs are all right.
Volcanoes,
yeah. Anything else?
Greediness.
Sorry?
Greediness.
Great. Oh, the forest, deforestation and all that, yes. Losing trees.
Hurricanes,
yeah. So, wonderful. I don't know what's my ears. Something wrong with this one. I think I better stop. All right. There's no need for that share. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I've usually got hearing like a warehouse cat, but it's not this morning. Anyway, it's broken because, and a lot of it's broken because of us. But you know, it's not, none of us go out. None of us wake up one morning and set out to destroy things, do we? None of us do that really. Well, not many of us. There's very few people in the world that would do that. So there's a problem. And we've all got the problem. And you see, we've got a picture of the world there with all the cracks in it, but actually it could be a picture of any of us. Because as good as we want to be, there are times that we can have bad thoughts and do bad things and say bad things and act in bad ways towards other people, which is basically what's wrong with the world. Because as we do that, and some people do it on a bigger scale, which affects whole nations, and others just with the people around us, but we're all part of the problem. We've all got a disease. And the reason we've got that is, of course, we've rejected God. And rejecting what God's good design was, we decided that we want to live life our own way. We want to run the world and we want to be the centre of it, thank you very much. And we can't all be the centre of it, because if I want to be the centre of my world, it means that you can't be it. All right? And that's the problem. There's only one person that should be the centre of the world, and that's the person who made it. And who's that? That's God, isn't it? And we reckon it all comes from him. So we've forgotten that the gifts come from him. And we've become selfish. And we've messed up the world that we live in. Messed up our own lives as well sometimes. And all the things that come from that. And the Bible calls all that sin. All right, it's a simple word. And I is the middle letter. And sin, you can remember it as eye disease. Not to do with these eyes here, but the eye that's in the middle of sin. Which says that I want to be the centre of my world. And I don't want God to be there. And that's ultimately what sin is. And it ends up producing the world that we've got now. So it's broken. But it's not the end of the story, because the seasons tell us death is there. But God's telling us in the seasons that there's hope. Spring can come, right? Let's look at the next slide, what we've got on the next one. God so loved the world. God has never, ever, ever stopped loving the world, and he never, ever will. Because God doesn't change. God, when he created the world, this is hard for us to understand, but when God made the world, he knew, because he gave us the will to do these things, he knew that we'd be stupid enough to choose to disobey him and to do things our own way. He knew that we'd be selfish. He knew that we'd make all these mistakes that we make, and he knew the world would be in the mess that it's in today. But he never stopped loving it. That's a wonderful thing to think, isn't it? Now, when we love somebody, nobody ever loves like God. Because nobody in the world can ever love like God. Because when we love somebody, even the best of us love. And it does have a little bit of a condition to it. We love people because they show us some love back. Now, sometimes we can love people who don't show us a lot of love back. But we always want something in return somehow or other. Our hearts are just made that way. But God doesn't want to get from us. God so loved the world. Can we put the next slide up, Gwen? God so loved the world that he gave. Didn't have to. He could have. God just could have made another one, couldn't he? Well, they're a load of rubbish. Let's get rid of them. They've just and kicked the world, as it were, like a football away and left us gone. But he doesn't. He stays with us and he loves us. And he still gives us good gifts, and he still gives us harvests and sunny days and summers and all the things. And is constantly trying to tell us that he loves us. And here's the verse in the Bible that talks about it, which is a very well-known verse, isn't it? Let's read it together. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not die, but have eternal life. That's all the things we've talked about. You see, the problem with the world is if God just leaves it, it will end up dying, doesn't it? But God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And you see there the cross in the middle of that little white circle thing. Because God came, and the result of sin and the result of our rejection of God is our death. But God came and died on the cross for us. Gave himself in our place to take that punishment. So that when we do meet our mortal end, which we all will one day, because that's the result of what sin is as well, the Bible tells us. But God says he will raise us again and we'll live for eternity with him. We'll come to that in a second. But the reason he'll do that for people who don't want to know him, another verse in the Bible tells us that even while we were still sinners and we didn't want anything to do with God, he came and died for us. And he gave his life for us. Someone who loves you that much, who loves the world that he made that much, that he wants to give everything for it. And that's the message of harvest as well, because there's a principle in this. And if you were at the meal last night, you heard me talking a little bit about the harvest principle, which is the next slide, please, Gwen. The harvest principle that comes out in this. This brings us back to our fruit and veg and everything this morning and all the things. Because last night I was telling you there's a principle in harvest, isn't there? That, as the Bible verse says here, a grain of wheat must go into the ground and die before it produces fruit. So that's how we get our crops, isn't it? We have to take a seed which has got no life in it whatsoever. So that's like a picture. Again, this is God's brilliant picture of what we're like and what he's done for us. Here's a seed with nothing in it. It's just nothing. It will go nowhere and do nothing while it's in my hand. But what God says is it needs to be planted. And it's like that picture of being digging a hole and putting somebody in it. It's a bit too near the knuckle, but it reminds us of death, doesn't it? And having to be buried.
And so you bury the seed in the ground and forget all about it. It seems like it's gone. But God doesn't forget. And the ground works its magic, the soil that we give thanks for, and the nutrients in that, and the sun, and the rain, and all the stuff we gave thanks for before, works the wonderful magic, if you like, or the wonderful thing of God, the grace of God, that allows that seed to grow and pop through the ground. And it's amazing, isn't it? I think weeds are the most amazing flower things that God ever created. Because you can put any sort of stuff on them, and somehow they'll still find a way back, won't they? You can put flags down, you can put little bits of concrete there, and you'll get rid of them for a while, but then all of a sudden a little green thing, how did that get through there? How strong must they be? But this is the sort of potential that God has put in, the little seeds of life that we have. But in order to know that full potential, we have to follow the way Jesus did. So Jesus came and said, look, unless I die on the cross, unless I give myself, then your sin is going to kill you. It's going to do you in and you're going to be lost forever. So I will come and give my life so I'll satisfy God's righteous demands. And then what you have to do is you have to take your little seed and say, I'm going to get off the throne of my life. I'm going to not make I the centre of it. And I'm going to make God the centre of my life. And that's like us dying in a way to ourselves and say, I'm going to give up all of my hopes and all of my dreams. I'm going to put them in God's hand. And then God will and recognize that everything that I have given him, everything I have, they're not mine anyway. They all belong to him. And I'm going to thank him for everything that he gives me, humbly. And I'll pray and hope that spring comes. And as I give my life to him, that spring will come and new life will appear. What a great picture nature is. It's what God's created, isn't it? And so that seed flourishes and grows and it gives new life. And that's the picture, that's the harvest principle, if you like. A seed falling into the ground and growing. Isn't God's world brilliant? Yeah, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? We need to appreciate it this morning and give him thanks for his good gifts. Because all this stuff, tins, what have we got here? Let's have a look. Pork, tin pork, you can't get much better than that, can you? He used to have chopped ham with pork. Remember the little lad who used to go for the advert? His mum sent him to the shops for chopped ham with pork and he went plopped ham with chalk. Remember that when he got there? Because he couldn't remember. And cornflakes, stuff like that. What else have we got here? Big soup. Where do you think all this comes from? It's all God's good gift, isn't it? It's all God's good provision. I went to a raffle once and won a tin of pea and ham soup. It was so nice. It's one of the greatest presents I ever won. You know, because even the simple stuff of life, things we take for granted, all come from him. God's good gifts. Now then, can you remember the memory verse from before? Ooh. Can you? Can you remember it? James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift comes from heaven, comes down from heaven, from the Father of the heavenly lights. James 1 verse 17. So don't forget that today. That's what we're giving him thanks for. And it's important for us to remember that our very life that we have and our future depends on us giving him thanks and remembering him. And the fact that we will live through into eternity beyond the grave. And it does so much more. This is only the beginning. It's the beginning. And when we come to the end of our life here on earth, it's kind of the end of the beginning. There's so much more for us to experience in eternity. It's what God created us for in the first place. And we only lost it in the first place because we took him off the throne of our lives and wanted to run things our own way. And that's the story of God's creation and the world and how we fit into that. It's a harvest story. And that's why we give him thanks. So we're going to finish this morning with a wonderful hymn that we all know very well. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider everything that you've made, then sings my soul how great thou art. And when I think of God, his son not sparing, when I walk through the woods and everything else, all of this reminds me of him. So let's sing this with all our hearts this morning.